This is Christian Robillard, and you're listening to Beyond the Bake Sale, where we help you raise more time, talent, and treasure in innovative, creative, and effective ways for the causes you care about.
Hello, this is Adam Janes, volunteer engagement consultant for Beyond the Bake Sale. I'm guest hosting yet again for Christian for another special volunteer management COVID-19 conversation. In this episode, I sat down with leading expert and author of volunteer management, Meridian Swift. Meridian Swift is celebrating 25 years in volunteer management, and she's still going strong. She's been a CVA for more than 15 years, spends her time leading workshops and winning volunteer program awards at both state and national levels. Meridian has written two books, The Volunteer Shelf Life and The Disruptive Volunteer Manager. She is the lead at Volunteer Plain Talk, both a blog and podcast for leaders of volunteers. Meridian loves analogies and all things absurd and will keep a good appliance going until not even duct tape can help it. She comes to us at this time in quarantine in Minnesota in the United States of America. So let's get ready, get your notepad, and thank you for tuning into this episode. Welcome, Meridian, and thank you for being part of our podcast, Beyond the Bake Sale.
Thank you. I'm absolutely honored to be here, Adam. Appreciate your asking me to come on.
So, Meridian, we can go into a variety of directions with this interview. With all of you have done, let's take a moment to talk about origins for a moment. When did you know supporting volunteerism is going to be a part of your path, professionally speaking?
Good question, Adam. And like most volunteer managers, I pretty much fell into my role quite a long time ago, 1995. And I was hired strictly because I could be nice. And so that, I was like, okay, I can be nice. And the question to me from my future supervisor was, can you get along with senior citizens? I'm like, yeah, I can. I have senior citizen parents and I know a lot of them and I think I can be nice to them. I appreciate them. And that was pretty much it. There wasn't a lot of, you know, can you develop programs? Do you know how to mediate? Do you know how to manage projects? None of that. It was basically, could you be nice? So I got the job. And then once I got into volunteer management, it began to, I akin it to like looking out over the ocean. It begins to unfold before you. You have no idea. You go in thinking it is pretty straightforward. Here's a task. There's a volunteer. You ask the volunteer to do the task. They do it. Move on. But it didn't take long to realize that it is nothing like that, that it has so many nuances to it. And because of the nuances, it also has so many creative opportunities, so many ways to sharpen different skills. And I think that's why I was never a person who stuck with a job for a long time. And I think that was partially why I stuck with it, because of the vastness of what it was about. And as you go along in volunteer management, it's like you're in a university of skill sharpening. And it's like a course that has so many different components to it. So there's no real point at which I said, oh, this is, you know, this is for me. I just kept getting hungry for more information. And that's kind of what fueled me. The skill sets that we learn about, I call them people saturated skills, although there are other types of skill sets you must have as a volunteer manager. They're people saturated in that you are dealing with folks who are not being paid, who are coming into an organization extremely part-time, sometimes once a month, sometimes only 4 hours a week. So how do you motivate? How do you understand these people's motivations? How do you get them? Which is really the wrong way to put it. But how do you get them to do what you need them to do? How do you impart to them the information they need? How do you communicate with them the direction your organization? How do you keep them engaged and excited. And so these are the things that as I began to learn, I realized it was so different than anything I'd ever done that I kind of wanted to do more. So there's not one moment for me anyway, but it was the journey that unfolded before me that hooked me, because each step I could see another step. With each step coming, I could see beyond. It's like looking down a path and you see, oh, it's opening up to this beautiful garden, or oh, it's opening up to this cliff. Oh, it's opening up to something new. And so anyone who likes to go on an adventure, this is definitely the profession for them.
And it certainly has been a journey. So congratulations on 25 years in volunteer management. You mentioned 1995 as a starting point.
So. I'm surprised I'm still, I don't know about sane, but still alive and standing. It's amazing.
Well, the adventure continues for sure. So into what reality we're in today, obviously COVID-19 has impacted everyone, but it has impacted volunteer management in a very interesting way. Could you please take some time and describe to us what's going on in the volunteer management world today?
In short, it's upheaval. Okay. It's upheaval because circumstances obviously has changed. It's chaos. But here's the thing about volunteer management. Circumstances may change. Chaos may ensue. But expectations of volunteer managers don't really change. And what do I mean by that? Volunteer managers operate in a world that is full of heavy expectations. And COVID-19 and our pandemic has only exacerbated that instance, okay? Volunteer managers are expected to recruit volunteers for the roles our organization somewhere in the back room have deemed the correct role for volunteers to fill. Okay, so we're expected to recruit volunteers specifically for roles. We're expected to retain volunteers. And, you know, sometimes that becomes a real double-edged sword, because sometimes volunteers are ignored. Sometimes they're not treated well. Sometimes they're not given correct information, or they're given instructions. Sometimes things will change. Let's say there's an event in an organization and volunteers are recruited to be there, and the event planners are running around and things are changing, and they fail to let the volunteers know. And now the volunteers show up and their roles have changed, or time has changed, or what they're expected to do has changed. And then it falls upon the volunteer manager to retain volunteers who feel like, hey, I'm not being treated well here. I can go somewhere else. So we have tremendous expectations upon us. And so this has only exacerbated that in what way? Well, now some volunteers, maybe many volunteers, are sheltering in place. So they're out of the picture because maybe their role is a direct client contact, or they come into the office, or we're just looking out for them because they may be part of the 65 and older population. On the flip side, what has been happening is the idea that virtual volunteering can not replace per se, but augment what is going on. So there's expectations from the volunteer manager to recruit virtual volunteers. Let's go. How do you recruit them? And maybe if that's not something that's been part of the volunteer manager's toolbox up until now, it's scrambling to figure out how to do this. How do I harness social media? How do I harness this idea that people want to help? And we've seen that all over the globe, where more than 750,000 people signed up for the National Health Service in Britain when they put out the call. People want to help. If people want to help, you need to harness that wanting to help for us. And that may not necessarily be the right fit for a volunteer. And it's hard for people to understand that. This person wants to help, but they don't want to help us. Yeah, that happens because maybe our organization doesn't have the type of help these volunteers want to do. So now volunteer managers are trying to engage the volunteers who are out of the picture, meaning they're sheltering in place, they're practicing social distancing, but yet they need to have some sort of connection to the organization so that when they're allowed to come back, they want to come back. So that's our real burden on the volunteer manager. How do I keep them engaged? You know, what is it that's going to make them want to return after this is all over? And in the meantime, I'm out there recruiting new people. And what's going to make them want to stay virtually after this is all over? So now I have double duty and I have more on my plate than I had before. So the volunteer management world has always been very saturated with all kinds of expectations. And now expectations have grown. And so for each volunteer manager out there, it's been not easy. And as people look at, you know, all the folks wanting to help, they're like, oh, you know, the volunteer managers, yay, they got what they wanted. Maybe not, because more people take more time in managing them correctly or leading them, really. We call everyone volunteer managers, but really we need to move over into the term leaders of volunteers, because managing kind of means you just tell people what to do. No offense to the word manager, but it has that connotation that you just manage them, you coordinate them, you tell them. No, leading volunteers has a management component to it, but it's more about being a leader. And so leadership has changed a lot for volunteer managers, and this really exacerbates and kind of highlights a lot of the struggles that we have had our entire careers.
I can attest to all that you're saying in my day job, and from the chaos to the need to lead volunteers versus manage them. And I think that in this time, you're bang on in the environment that that's been created on us is an opportunity for volunteer managers to speak clearly and to the people that they've been called to lead and the organizations that have entrusted them with those positions.
Right. And remember, a lot of what a volunteer manager does is that very personal connection with volunteers. And that means when a volunteer walks into the organization and the doors open to the volunteer manager's office, they drop by and they share pictures of their grandchildren, or they tell a joke, or they connect on a very personal level with the volunteer manager, because the volunteer manager is the the point person for the organization. And now that's been removed. So now volunteer managers have to use social media, email. I mean, it's not the same thing. Can it substitute? Can it be a viable substitution? Yeah, because people do understand, you know, circumstances are different. But it does make it much more difficult to keep those connections so fresh.
I want to share with our audience that we've been chatting a bit before this interview, and I mentioned that mm-hmm. I love your book, The Disruptive Volunteer Manager. It's not a title that you often give volunteer managers, a disruptor, but can I ask you to share the premise of the book, just in general, and more specifically, why in this time of change and uncertainty, this book speaks even more loudly?
We as human beings can seek change, and most of us do. It's part of our nature to want to change for the better. But sometimes change can be just thrust upon us. And as Deepak Chopra said, all great changes are preceded by chaos. And when you think about that, that has a heck of an element of truth to it, because chaos can beget change. So, but if I can go back to volunteer management being a journey more than like one circumstance where, you know, you go, oh, wow, this is really great. That unfolding journey and that wide, vast expanse of skills and knowledge and interpretations that you need. That's what fueled my book, The Disruptive Volunteer Manager. And so there were questions during the course of my career that really plagued me, and I wanted answers to these questions. And I'm kind of a research junkie anyway. I love research. So I started doing a lot of research, and I thought to myself, maybe I need to look outside of volunteer management. Maybe we're pretty much a closed system, and look outside and see if there are things that we can apply to volunteer management and engagement and impact that might help us become disruptors and might help us move our profession forward. And so the book is kind of the compilation of all that research as I try to apply it to what we as volunteer professionals were doing. And I put it into steps, meaning the first thing that I realized I had done incorrectly was to change myself. And when I would get frustrated, I would always look outside and go, why don't they understand? Why doesn't my organization understand what I'm trying to tell them? When I needed to change my approach. So that's the first step, is how you change your approach and start to look at it is how do I get across what I'm trying to say? And so I believe that we need to strategize in order to elevate volunteerism and volunteer management. And these steps are about strategy. What I'm saying here is we've had a status quo for so many years since I've been in it and prior to the emergence of the internet as being, you know, the tool for all of us to research and connect. So I saw it prior to that and felt so isolated once the internet came in, then was able to connect with a lot more people, which is great. And that's going to help us a lot. But I saw that the status quo was a system in which volunteers, for the most part, not always, but for the most part, are considered a side thing. They're considered afterthoughts. They're considered fluff. They're considered non-essential. And the ironic thing about considering them as fluff and non-essential is organizations almost universally will parrot the phrase, we couldn't do what we do without the help of volunteers. And so it's interesting because that phrase has become, you know, systematic throughout, but it's so broad and it's so meaningless that it's almost a crutch that we use to say, oh, you know, we have a volunteer program, therefore everything is fine and dandy. And it's not, because volunteer managers are basically given edicts from senior management. Here's what we want the volunteers to do. And here's what we don't want the volunteers to do. And don't stray off of what we've told you. And so it becomes one of these situations where the person who knows the most about how to engage volunteers, how to harness volunteer impact, how to get volunteer value is the person who was not at the planning table, and that's the volunteer manager. And so they need to be at the planning table in order to get the most out of volunteers, in order to set up a system in which volunteers want to be retained. And so that's why I wrote the book, because we definitely need change. And so that change needs to come from the volunteer manager. It's not going to come from an organization suddenly saying, oh, hey, we've been doing this wrong. Nobody likes to be told they're doing things incorrectly. We really just as human beings don't like that. But what volunteer managers can do is say, you know what? I'm working on making our program better, more modern. And I want to show you how that's going to help us instead of saying, hey, we've been doing this wrong all these years.
In your book, one of the terms that really jumped out at me is the term reshaping. And it kind of flows through all of the things. And I think about the landscape of the charitable sector now, and there's reshaping happening at a size and speed that we've never experienced before. What do you think it'll take in the charitable sector and in volunteer managements to harness or to even just to cope with the reshaping that's happening in this unique situation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question, Adam. I think there's been and there might still be a lot of pent-up frustration in the volunteer management sector because of what we talked about, the outdated views on volunteering and volunteer management. As a sector, we have been advocating for change for some time. And just an example, I'm not going to say who, but those of us who do a lot of blogging, podcasting, writing articles, yada, 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 we write, and who reads it? Other volunteer managers. I've reached out to nonprofit journals and nonprofit publications and offered I would put together a contingent of volunteer managers who would write a huge article together about how changing the sector would benefit organizations exponentially. And not one wanted to take me up on it. Not really. Are they not interested in the volunteer aspect of organizations? When you call yourself a nonprofit and you speak for nonprofits, are you ignoring a huge workforce, which is the volunteer workforce? And so there's a lot of pent-up frustration in the volunteer management sector because of the view that this is off to the side or this is not essential, when volunteer help can be the kind of help that will expand an organization, will bring so much in. Volunteers bring in more than 4 hours a week. What else do they bring in? They bring in word of mouth marketing. They talk to their friends about the great work the organization is doing. They bring in donations. They bring in-kind donations. They bring in other advocates. They're out there talking about us all the time, and we don't look at them as this army of expansion that an organization needs. They come to us. We typically look at volunteers as, you know, little old ladies having tea. That nothing is further from the truth. We have volunteers who have storied careers in all kinds of disciplines that can add to us. What absolutely kills me is that organizations will go out and spend money on a consultant to teach them about certain things. If they ask the volunteer manager, do you have any volunteers who are retired bankers, retired leaders? There's retired CEOs, for heaven's sakes, in volunteer forces who would be more than happy to put on a webinar or put on an actual seminar for the staff at an organization. There is so much untapped potential in a volunteer force. And sadly, we're looking at our volunteers as, can you come in on Saturday and sit at the front desk and answer the phone? This has got to stop, because why? Well, in the book, I talk about the rise of what I call the citizen helper, which I know you and I, Adam, have talked about, the vigilante volunteer. And every time there's a natural disaster, we see people who don't go to an organization, sign up, do a background check, go through training. No, they go out and they fill a need. Boom. And more we're seeing that. And if organizations don't look at that and say, whoa, wait a minute, people are bypassing us and doing things on their own, we've got to change so that we can harness that desire to do good in a way that fits for these volunteers, they're just going to pass us by. And the other thing is the rise of CSR, corporate social responsibility. That's another little red flag that should be going off in the minds of organizations as it pertains to volunteers. CSR, corporate social responsibility, is when a corporate entity wants to do good in their community. Now, is that selfish? Do they want the PR? Sure, but a lot of them want also to give back. It's what feels right to them. Their employees want to work for a company that takes this seriously, that is not just about the profit. And so there's vested interest in corporations doing CSR. And are organizations prepared for that? Are organizations giving volunteer managers the tools in which to harness CSR? Not really. So the volunteer manager, when they're called up by a corporate entity, hey, we've got, 30 people who want to do something on a Saturday. This poor volunteer manager runs around like a chicken without a head, trying to figure out, can they weed the garden out front, or can they paint a room or whatever. Meanwhile, they're talking to the rest of the organization and everyone's going, well, I don't want to come in on a Saturday. It's all about volunteering. No, it's about creating a partnership between the entire organization and this corporate entity. Because guess what? Fundraisers, you're going to get donations from this corporation. Marketing, you're going to get marketing from this corporation. Pro bono help in certain areas, you're going to get this from this from this corporate entity. So the idea that corporate volunteering belongs solely in the wheelhouse of the volunteer manager is so short-sighted. And so what's going to happen when corporate entities start feeling like, well, I go over to this organization, they sound good, but I get there and there's nothing for us to do. And they seem like they're running around and don't know, what to do with us. They're going to bypass us, just like the citizen helper. They're going to bypass us. They're going to set up their own program. And guess what? Corporate entities have the money and the resources to do it. So we had better be paying attention to all these different trends, and we better be prepared for them. And that means investing in your volunteer manager, investing in their development as a leader, so that they can show us the organizations, the way to harness all of this to our own benefit.
Thank you. You've painted an excellent picture of the landscape that we are currently going in, and a great couple of examples of how the world of volunteering is being reshaped. Mm-hmm. We're going to move into the next section of the interview and the conversation that we're having. So we'll move into the next section of the conversation. Mm-hmm. We're hoping that these podcasts will be both for advocacy, but also for spurring on innovation and inspiration. So I want to ask you, was there a time in your career, and it could be now, that advocacy was needed in what you were accomplishing?
I think, of course, short answer, always, 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 always. A volunteer manager is always advocating. For me, I'm going to try and make this short. I'm a big believer in showing. I'm a big believer in, if you advocate and all you do is say, we need, we want, we should, you're going to be painted as nothing but a whiner, and that's not the way to get people to see what you're doing is the correct path or the right path to go on. So I'm a big believer in showing. I'm going to give you an example of in my career. And I think, let me just preface this by saying, I think in your gut, I think volunteer managers are very, very perceptive, intuitive people. You have to be. That's one of the people-saturated skills you have to have. So by nature now, volunteer managers are intuitive and perceptive. So when an idea gets in their heads that something's going to work, they know instinctively this will work. And so I say, follow your gut. When your gut tells you this is going to, I know it because I have taken all this information in from everywhere and I've put it in this package in my head and it comes out looking really good. Go with that. Advocate for that. How do you advocate? Well, here's one example from me. So sorry. I had a lot of volunteers at one point that I was like, holy mackerel, these volunteers are so incredibly talented. And by talented, I mean they were accomplished musicians and singers and actors and things like that. I'm like, how am I getting all these people like that? So anyway, long story short, I'm like, I want to showcase these folks in a different light, you know, in another light that is not the same as the roles they were, you know, fitting within my organization. And so I came up with an idea for having a show. And I pitched it and it was like, no, you got to be kidding me. This will never work. Yada, yada, yada. I'm like, oh, but I knew in my gut. I just knew it. And I knew it enough that it fueled me. And so I said, okay, you know, let me do it on my own time and it won't cost you any. And they said, sure. Yeah. Hey, go ahead on your own time. You want to do it, do it. And I did. And so I got together who I thought would be wonderful participants, committee members. We put together a committee. And I'll tell you, Adam, I have never worked on a committee in my entire life that was more engaged and wonderful than this committee. But that's a whole nother story. So anyway, the committee and I, we put together a show. We all had jobs. We went out and got this wonderful venue in town, this great theater that sat 2,300 people. They gave us a great rate on blah, 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 blah. And we put together a show. And that show ran every year for 4 years before I actually retired from there. And we had thousands and thousands of people come to this show. We had more fun doing that show. It was a ton of work. But the fact, and I showed my organization so many things by that, or we showed, I shouldn't say I showed, we showed my organization so many things about the ability to work together, volunteers, and what they can accomplish when given just the go-ahead, the confidence for them to go ahead and showcase their skills. We had one volunteer write special songs for it. We had other volunteers go out and recruit people they knew in the theater avenue and bring these people in who never would have volunteered for us because we didn't have anything for them, but they volunteered readily. I mean, the speed at which these performers said, of course I'll be there, it's a good cause, just absolutely blew me away. And the amount of time they spent rehearsing for nothing and putting in just absolutely filled up my entire being with the possibilities that are out there. So advocacy, long story short, advocacy for me is about showing, not about complaining, whining, just mouthing words at people. It's about showing them and then building on what you show them. So you need results. You need impact. Volunteer impact. Build upon that is what I would tell volunteer managers who want to advocate. And you can do that in so many different ways. You can use statistics. You can use personal stories. You can use testimonials. You can use all kinds of things that support what you're trying to advocate for. But give them concrete examples of why what you're advocating for is the right way to go. So show.
The next question, and this is great in these conversations, is basically the outflow of what you just said. innovation by showing these great ideas. We're innovating, we're helping paint that picture and make it clear for those in the sector. The question that comes out of that, and can you take that example and kind of translate it to today? What could you say to volunteer managers when they're trying to innovate in this current environment?
I would say this is the time to innovate. There's no better time to innovate than during upheaval and change. So harness what innovations in your head. And like I said, because you're perceptive, because you're intuitive, because you take so many pieces of scraps of information that fly around and you put them in and you mold them into something you know is going to work. I mean, you know as well as you know anything, this is going to work. That's the thing you need to work on, and you need to advocate tirelessly for that with showing. And put together pilot programs, put together pilot initiatives, put together things, get volunteers involved, get them excited. They're going to, you know, feed on your excitement and your, I remember when I put together my committee for my show, I said to them, I know this is going to work. And I meant it. And they believed it and they knew it too. And so all of us knowing together it's going to work, it's going to make it work. There was no way we could fail. There's no way you will fail if you have volunteers who believe as strongly in something as you do. So find those volunteers. That's key, is finding the people who reflect what you believe, who reflect your vision for the future. And you know those volunteers are around. You have them. Get those people involved. And that, and one thing, I know you asked about, you know, innovations that are going on. One thing I wrote about in my book is volunteer sustainability versus volunteer retention. And this is something that I discovered, and I try to practice a little bit, and then I've heard of other volunteer managers when talking to them that they're trying to practice, and that's sustaining volunteers versus retaining them. So what does that mean? Well, look at the depletion of, you know, depleting the commons is what it's called. What that means is when you greedily take something for yourself and don't try to cultivate and regrow, everyone loses because you deplete the commons. So we have to look at volunteering as almost like symbolically or metaphorically a garden. So how do we cultivate our volunteers? Well, if an organization, let's say a volunteer applies at an organization for a position and that position isn't open or that position isn't really what that volunteer wants, and that organization just pretty much shelves that volunteer and says, well, you know, we'll call you when something you want comes up. What's happening? You're depleting the common, because what if another organization could utilize that volunteer and then make that volunteer happy and satisfied with what they're doing? What if they could find something better somewhere else? Well, then, of course, the next argument is going to be, well, wait a minute, you don't want to give away all your volunteers. No, you don't. But if you're not utilizing volunteers correctly or to the best of their ability, you're going to lose them anyway. And the thing about not sharing them is that volunteer may become so disgruntled or so unhappy or just so, you know, fed up with the whole system, they may not volunteer anywhere else. And the more we look at the needs of the volunteers as well as our own organizational needs, but we put the volunteers' needs in the same level as our needs, the more we're going to make the volunteers grow and increase. The more they're going to want to volunteer, the more they're going to tell other people how wonderful it is to volunteer, the more we're going to have this lush garden in which we'll all benefit, because then there's plenty to go around. So this idea that these are my volunteers, no. We have to stop that and say, hey, talk to other organizations in our area. Can you use this volunteer? Maybe the volunteer works on a project and the project ends. Can somebody else use this volunteer because their enthusiasm is not going to wane? It's going to be there. So let's keep it going so that maybe when I have a new project a year later, that volunteer is still going and I can then take that volunteer back. I mean, it just makes sense that we as volunteer organizations would look out for growing our volunteer base instead of chopping it down and depleting it. Does that make sense?
100%. And what I accustom it to is that we're all in the same communities together. We all exist in the same, you know, society that we're trying to help, and the utilizing and sharing people, as crass as that sounds, is what we're enabling the people to help the community the best way they can. And that sometimes that is signing them up to meet our friends and other organizations and charities. 100%. I'm definitely feeling what the content of this next question is, which is inspired. So my question to you, and what to do with inspiration, is what do you say to volunteer managers right now at the height of this crisis to keep them inspired?
I say to volunteer managers right now that your perception, your intuitive nature, your instincts are right on. Don't ever sell yourself short. You know your volunteers, your volunteer program, your volunteer initiative, your volunteer projects, the way your volunteers interact with staff and clients, the skills your volunteer has, the motivations that inspire you. You know better than anyone, because why? You're there. You work hard. You pay attention. You're on that journey that's unfurling before you, and you're absorbing and sucking in all these skills and all this knowledge as you go. You, above anybody, knows where a volunteer program should be, knows where it should go, knows how to get there. You know. So the inspiration is, again, with your gut instinct. Listen to it and don't be afraid to advocate. Now, advocate smartly, efficiently, effectively. Do that, but definitely advocate. Put together. Now's the time to do some. I know things are chaotic and crazy, but in the chaos, as volunteer managers, we're always pulling out of chaos, because we have chaos all the time, honestly. You know, we do operate in a lot of chaotic modes, not from our own doing, but from the fact that we have so much going on. So we're no strangers to having a lot swirling around us. So I know that you're always pulling out scraps of ideas, scraps of examples. So during this time, make sure you're jotting down and you're formulating your scraps of information and ideas, what you're seeing. Put them down and start putting them into a context. Mold them together into what you believe should be the future of your program. Only you know. You know, you can get information from the rest of us. We can all get information from one another. But ultimately, you're going to know exactly where you need to go. And obviously, reach out and talk to one another. We can help one another. And we can share information, ideas, successes, challenges, failures. Let's share everything. One of the things that used to bother me a long time ago, I'm not saying now, but a long time ago, I used to go to whatever volunteer conference was put on in, you know, my area, or if I could scrape up the money to go to. And what would kill me is I would go into these conference sections and people would talk about, oh, we have this program and it's wonderful. And I'd be raising my hand going, okay, what are the challenges with this program? And most of the time, what challenges, you know? So never underestimate the fact that we all know we have challenges. We all have failures. I've had many failures. I tend to want to talk about the good stuff, but failures are part of it. We learn from failures. So reach out to one another and share successes, share failures, you know, cry on each other's shoulders, vent, share frustrations. And this is the way we're going to work through all of this, is by sharing with one another and going with our gut instinct and advocating efficiently, effectively, smartly for what we know is the path forward.
It's excellent advice in an uncertain time. I agree that in these times, your gut has been preparing for this. You know, in our darkest moments, in our biggest failures and struggles that we've had, there's something that's been built up in there in resilience. And of the volunteer managers I've met, that's certainly been the case. Is there's a deep pool of experience and trying to figure this all out in any number of circumstances. So the next question is kind of heading us towards the future, because we know that this current circumstance will not be the same for the rest of time. What do you see as the key to volunteerism? I know the future is uncertain, but what do you see as the key to volunteerism? What's a few small things you can share as we return to what I call a new normal, because we know normal is out the window,
right?
But a new normal.
Yeah, we know there's going to be a new normal. I wish I had a crystal ball and could say this is exactly how it's going to be. I don't know that we're there yet, but I think we can look for signs of what might come and start to prepare for it. And I think what might come will be, again, what has been coming all along anyway. And this is maybe just going to accelerate all of that. And that would be the rise of citizen helpers, the rise of corporate social responsibility, and the taking over of some of the issues in the nonprofit sector, or the reason to be for nonprofit organizations by corporate entities, the rise of virtual volunteering, but you know, it has been rising anyway. Flexibility, we've been talking about volunteer flexibility for many years in the volunteer sector. In other words, volunteers want flexible roles instead of permanent, what we would call permanent roles. It just sounds like there's never going to be an end, you know, and that's how it sounds to volunteers. What, I have to do this for the rest of my life? No. So what we need to be thinking about is how to, and it doesn't have to be tremendous upheaval changes. We can even introduce subtle changes. In other words, how about this, just for an example. Let's say you have your organization wants you to recruit volunteers to, let's go back to the, you know, reception desk on a Saturday. There's no staff member there, but, you know, your organization is open for whatever reason, and you need a volunteer on a Saturday. Okay, so you go about recruiting. You put an ad on Volunteer Match, maybe in your local paper, blah, blah, blah. You put something on Facebook. You know, we need a volunteer Saturday to answer the phones. Well, how many volunteers are going to look at that and go, I can't do that every Saturday? You know, why would you expect me to do that every Saturday? Yes, you may get the one volunteer out there who says, yay, I want to be there every Saturday. Sure, that happens. And that's the kind of stuff, that one volunteer that fuels this. Oh yeah, you can get volunteers for, you know, permanent positions, that fuels that when you happen to fall upon one that will do it. But the thing is, you know, I've had volunteers like that. They filled these great roles consistently. And then guess what? They got sick. They moved. And now I was faced with a gigantic hole that I had to fill. Why can't you get another volunteer just like that one who left? Because that one was unique. So what we can be doing is to start to look at the roles that we are expected to fill. We can't change every role to fit what we want. So the roles that we have to fill, how can we change them subtly, you know, just nuanced so that they can appeal to the modern volunteer. Well, we might make it flexible. You know, we might say we have a front desk role for the next 6 months, and then in 6 months we'll revisit it. We might say we have a volunteer role we're going to fill with 10 volunteers, and all you, my dear friend volunteer, have to do is fill it once every 6 weeks. We might have volunteers, and I know we already do this, but we might advertise it this way. We need backup volunteers. Oh, okay. That's flexible, right? I'm just a backup guy or a backup girl or whatever person. I can just fill in when I have the time. That's going to appeal to someone who needs flexibility. And so once that person comes in a flexible role, if they happen to like the organization, like the people they're working with, like what's being done, feel filled up with meaning from what they're doing, they may actually become a more structured volunteer. Who knows? It's possible. But the idea is we can subtly make different changes in order to appeal to people. Start looking at all your volunteer ads. How can I reward them? What do I need to do to make them more attractive? And so these are subtle things we can do. The bigger things, I'm not sure how it's all going to wash out. I don't know that anybody really knows. But I think as we go, we're going to share information with each other and we're going to figure it out, because that's what a volunteer manager does on a daily basis.
That sounds like an excellent caveat to arranging a future visit and having some conversation about the new normal.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask one more big question, then we can go into a little bit of a lightning round. The last question I want to ask is, at the end of The Disruptive Volunteer Manager, you come at the reader with tremendous hope. And I want to ask, does COVID change that to the positive, to the negative? And how do you think COVID has adjusted the sales when it comes to the future of volunteering?
No, I don't think it's changed it at all. I think it's only shown us, I do the Google search where it just alerts me when a topic comes up on volunteerism, et cetera, et cetera. And it's exponentially increased so much because there's spotlights on and highlights on volunteering and volunteerism right now. And we're seeing that people want to have, I mean, I've known this my entire career, volunteer managers, we know this, people want to help. Remember Mr. Rogers and what his mother told him when he would get anxious over any kind of natural disaster, and his mother would say to him, look for all the people who help. And this is what volunteer management or leading volunteers is about. We know people want to help. So hope, absolutely. Absolutely. Hope has never gone away in our sector. Where we end up with frustrations is in harnessing and elevating that hopefulness. We're hopeful human beings. Especially people in volunteer management, because you know what? I used to tell my friends and family and that who would ask me, you know, what do you do for a living? And I would tell them, and they would go, oh my gosh, that must be depressing. And that because you work with, you know, societal challenges. And so, and I'd be like, no, I live in a bubble pretty much in my job. I work with the most amazing, giving, selfless, wonderful human beings on earth. Are you kidding me? You don't think that I'm privileged and fortunate and blessed to do what I do? And they'd be like, oh, never thought about it that way. Yeah. So hope, yeah. I think, you know what, this made me think of this, Adam, thanks for asking it that way, but I think that's what keeps us in this sector, is we know that people, sure, there's rotten people in the world, or there's rotten circumstances, sure, But I always used to tell my volunteers, you know, you can be the kind of person who drives by an accident and puts your hand up and you don't look. But does that make that accident go away? No, it's still there. You, my friends, my lovely volunteers, are the people who don't put their hands up, who don't look away. You're the people who get out of the car and see if they can help. And so I think that's why most of us stay where we are, because we are working with the most hopeful, wonderful people on earth.
Wow. You've painted a great picture of volunteerism as a force of human kindness. It's a movement that's going to go on and only grow as the challenges arise.
Yes.
So thank you for taking that time and painting that picture so wonderfully. So a little bit of a lightning round for questions, just to have some,
okay,
some quick moving fun here. I'm going to give you a phrase and you finish it.
Okay. So, okay.
Volunteers are.
Volunteers are essential to organizations. I know you thought I was going to say wonderful, selfless people. Volunteers are essential to meeting organizational goals, to furthering organizational missions. That's what I say.
The last time I volunteered, I
had a very interesting time. And so it kind of highlights the need for really good volunteer management. I'm not going to go into it.
A leader of volunteers does.
Does what they know will work. A leader of volunteers does the things that engage volunteers, and they do the things that manage projects, which are two separate skill sets, but yet work together to create a thriving and vibrant volunteer initiative.
And then finally, the future is.
The future is hopeful and bright, because that's what we just talked about. But it is. The future is hopeful and bright. And I only hope and desire that leaders of volunteers begin to get the recognition and the support in leadership development that they so deserve, because leaders of volunteers have so much to offer organizations, so much in the way of solutions, so much in the way of innovation, so much in the way of moving forward, so much in the way of help and support for staff who are overworked. And so, yeah, the future is volunteer management and leaders of volunteers for sure.
Thank you so much for that. And one more, we call it the shameless self-promotion question. Is there anything you want to share with listeners that you're working on, or places where they can go to advocate, innovate, or be inspired?
Okay, sure. I'll talk about this for just a quick second. Because of the whole outdated system that we have, or outdated model of volunteers and volunteering. You know, we have modern volunteers. I just personally am kind of tired, and I know people will probably disagree with me, but I'm kind of tired of old sayings like volunteers are selfless, volunteers are priceless, these sayings and whatnot have been going, and granted they're true and they're lovely and everything, but I kind of deem them old-fashioned and meaningless. And so I've created new hopefully more kitschy, modern kind of ways of looking at things. And I have a website on Zazzle, 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 where there's products. And so I think, and it doesn't have to be my stuff, I think we need to use more current verbiage when it comes to our volunteers, more about volunteer impact and more about, you know, volunteer value and things of that nature. We need to become more modernized in how we refer to ourselves and whatever. Anyway, so some of the things on Zazzle would be mugs and t-shirts and that, sayings like, I speak fluent volunteer. You know, and that could be something that could get a person saying, what the heck does that mean? Oh, let me tell you what that means. Or, you know, proud leader of volunteer, it's volunteering weather, you know, engaging volunteers is my cardio. So it's volunteer plain talk at Zazzle if you're interested or curious or just want to look and say, oh, I've got some phrases I can use, you know, to kind of modernize volunteers and volunteerism and get away from, I always call it the volunteers are the sprinkles atop the cupcake of caring. I mean, we have treated volunteers like they're sprinkles atop a cupcake for years and years and years. It's time to treat them as the essential impacting workforce that they really are.
Volunteers are the dough.
There you go. Volunteers are the dough. I like it. Need me, baby.
Oh, that was an excellent dad joke pun there to throw a little humor into our awesome conversation that we've had. I want to stop now and wrap up and thank you so much for this time. Our conversation has been incredibly inspiring. I was tempted to take notes on for my own work, but able to hold back on that a little bit, and I'll take notes after we're done here today. But thank you so much for your wisdom, your kindness, your hopefulness. It is an inspiration to the field. And COVID's got nothing on volunteerism. We're going to just come out of this stronger and helping more people as the need grows.
Yeah, absolutely.
So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Adam. Really appreciate it. Appreciate the opportunity and appreciate your, you know, advocating for volunteers and volunteer managers. We are the future.
Hey, everyone. Christian here with a few short things before you take off. A big thanks for tuning into another episode of Beyond the Bake Sale. Did you love the episode? Then we'd be grateful for a rating on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or Spotify. Don't want to miss our next episode? Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Want to collaborate on something? Have a story that you want to tell? Have feedback for us? Then shoot us a message by heading to our website at www.btbs.ca. While you're there, you can follow us on social, read our blog, and also listen to past episodes. But above all, thank you for committing to moving Beyond the Bake Sale.